Get ready. It's time for the podcast.
Welcome back to the Candy Colored Studio. I'm artist Katrina Berg. This is episode 186, Creating a Life That Is Curated, Not Collected, or Imposed. So this week I got an awesome email recently, or actually maybe I was on their website. Okay, so if you haven't heard of Merci or Merci Paris, it's this amazing store. Obviously it's in Paris, and I first heard about it through my cousins who make stained glass, and they're called Piggy and Dirt on Instagram. You should totally check them out. Anyways, they love to travel. Rebecca was roommates with my mom when they lived abroad, and they studied in France and they lived in Paris. And so they love so many of the things that our family loves, like good food, travel, fun, you know, they're just amazing. And I remember Kurt suggested that I check out Merci when I was going to Paris. So this was like in, I think it was 2018 when I got to go with a bunch of artists and we had such a fun time. And then that last weekend we spent back in Paris and I asked the girls if they wanted to go, and we totally went and stopped by, and it was so magical. It's seriously such a neat place. They've got a courtyard. A lot of these amazing places in Paris, you don't get to enjoy the courtyards unless you actually stay in an Airbnb that has a courtyard, or you go in some of these incredible shops that actually let you go in the courtyard. And this is one of them. They have a bookstore. And of course, I love bookstores. It's like bookstore and cafe. And then you can also go and check out the clothing, the stationery, the home goods. I mean, there's just so many amazing things. So I found some really great stuff when I first went, and I started using their calendar, their like planner. And I've been using it ever since. Like, I buy a new one every year. And what I love about their planners is they're 18 months. It's not just 12. And so depending on when you switch, like, you just have more, just more options. And I think that's really hard for me to switch over to a new planner. So I love having that extra 6 months to kind of make plans and decide when it's time for me to give up the old one and move on over. And anyways, it's just a perfect size. So I get on every year and I'll just buy a planner, and sometimes I'll get other stationery and stuff from them on their website. And they're really good with shipping. So anyways, Merci Paris. I'll put a link in the show notes, but they're absolutely incredible. I love so many of the things they do. I finally started following them on Instagram, and it's full of inspiration. They do a lot of really great like background videos. They tell you about some of the artisans that create the products that are in their shop. They'll talk about the products. They'll take you in the back room. You'll see the storage stuff. Like, it's just really, really fun to see what they have going on. Anyway, so I was on their website and I came across this page, and it must have been kind of like their why or their manifesto. And I'm going to read it to you because it just really, I don't know, it just impacted me that day when I read it. So it said, curated, not collected. I'm going to read that again. Curated, not collected. Things at Merci should have meaning. Beauty alone isn't enough. Things need to be useful as well. Function is essential. We would rather be guided and inspired by the ever-changing trends in the world than by the inevitable sameness of seasonal collections. Merci casts a careful eye on ordinary daily life and tries as best as it can to make extraordinary one day at a time. I loved that. There were so many little things that really spoke to me when I came across it. Obviously, it's just the perfect kind of manifesto for their store. That's exactly what I felt when I was there. Everything felt so unique, so special. And if you found a connection to something, you knew it was going to be useful. You knew that it was the perfect item for you. Like, I can totally see how it could make, or it does make, at least for me, makes parts of our day extraordinary, right? There's so much of our daily life that really is ordinary, but when we put extra meaning, or we really spend time to focus on and be careful about what we're bringing into our home, I think that those little things really do become extraordinary. My hope for this episode is that, first of all, hopefully we're past the traditional January goal frenzy, and we can look more intentionally at what it is that we really want to curate in our lives. What does a curated life look like for us? Where are we finding most joy? What are the necessary things that we do, and how can we make them more extraordinary, right? So as I was first kind of writing down ideas for this episode, the first thing that really came to mind as I was thinking about this idea was an episode interview that I did with my dear friend, Annie Priest, who's also an artist. And it's episode 32, and I called it Annie Priest, A Full Life of Tiny Creative Joyful Moments. And she exhibits this idea in her daily life so beautifully and so effortlessly. I think it looks effortless to those from the outside. But if you know Annie, you know that she's made really, really hard choices throughout her, I don't know, her adulthood, throughout her life, within her family, so that she's able to have these seemingly effortless, joyful, and creative moments, right? So after you listen to this episode, if you want to like really think about this a little bit more and how you can implement it in your life, definitely check out episode 32. And of course, I will have links in the show notes. Okay, so when I think about this curated life, I think about, okay, so who is in this curated life? And maybe more importantly, who's not, right? That's a hard question. And I think the whole purpose of this episode, again, is to consider, what does it look like to have this beautiful curated life? And what is it like, what is it that I have to actually be saying no to, right? And then for me, I think when it comes to curating, we are inviting. So when a curator invites you to be part of their art show, they are specifically choosing artists or artisans, sculptors, whether it's poems or whoever. They are specifically inviting people to be part of it. It's not where you apply and then hopefully get into the show. It's totally on an invitation, right? So that's the question that I have about our life. Are we inviting these things into our life, or are there things bombarding us, right? And I feel like the bombarding things, they start to feel like we don't have a choice, right? And I think for me, the hardest choices come, at least from my experience, that sometimes if I don't make hard choices, it leads to choices being made for me. And sometimes for me, at least, that's even more disappointing than having made the hard choice. So these are things that you can think about throughout these ideas. So then the next thing I thought about was, okay, well, what is it that I really want to curate? Obviously, I want to curate those joyful moments that Annie Priest talks about. I want to have that. And what is it that brings me the most joy? And I came up with basically six topics. Let's see, maybe it's seven. Seven topics: family, friendship, nature, health, creating, learning, and stuff. Okay, so I'm just going to talk about a few of these. And my hope for you is that as you listen, now this is something that if you want to join me on this journey, I think this is not a January to-do list. This is not a set goals and achieve them within amount of weeks or months or whatever. This is something that I believe is more like a vision, right? And I think sometimes to really capture our vision of what we really want in this curated life, we have to think about it for a long time and then just kind of see how, like, we'll find that there's some things that we're automatically curating, and then we'll see that there's some things that we're not making hard enough choices, and that's why we're not finding as much joy as maybe we could if we made the hard choices. So as I started writing down different subtopics within each of these seven topics, I noticed that there were things in there that I've been searching or curating for a long time. I've been trying to create this life for a long time. There's some things that obviously I'm better at than others. And it's something that now that I've written it down, I'm hoping that, I mean, almost like being a fly on the wall of your own life, I just want to step back every day or once a week and just kind of look and see how this is going and just kind of mindfully have it on the back burner so that when something comes up, I can ask myself, okay, do I want to invite this in my life, or is this something that's trying to bombard me and I need to make a difficult choice? So first topic is family and marriage. And for me, I feel like, you know, this is my top priority: family, marriage, and friendship. Those are like the most important things to me. And obviously everyone will have different priorities, but I think it's important to recognize what your priorities are. So for me, when it comes to family and marriage, I want to make sure that I'm spending time doing things that are most important to the people that are most important to me, in my family and with my husband, Carl. Then the second thing is I want to make sure that I'm taking time each day to listen to their dreams, their hopes, their fears, and their questions, just random questions. We get have a most the most amazing conversations because of the random questions, or because they're open enough to tell me about their fears or their hopes and dreams, right? And I think it's really important to take that time, at least for me, to listen if I really want to have a good relationship with each of them. The next thing would be I want to make sure that we're spending time together playing, exploring, and learning. And that can come in lots of different forms, but I feel like that's really an important part of when our family finds the most joy, is when we take the time to listen to each other, when we're doing things that are important to each other, and then, of course, that we're taking the time to just have fun and learn and explore. The next one that I wrote down is spiritual relationships really are such a priority to me. And so I'm just adding that to my family and marriage because those are the most important relationships that I have. So a relationship with my heavenly parents, a relationship with my Savior Jesus Christ, making sure that I'm listening to the Holy Ghost every day. Those are things that are really important to me. And then the last one that I wrote, I have two. Okay, so another one was growing and learning together. So that kind of, I added that in with the spending time together and playing, because I think learning a lot of times has to do with play, but I think it's also just important that I focus on learning and growing together, because I can't tell you how many things I've learned from my kids, from my husband. Like, it's amazing. And I feel like it needs to be a priority for me to find joy. And then that leads into the last one, which is to celebrate the wins and to grieve together the losses. And so I feel like as we experience and we take this journey together, there will be wins, there will be losses. And as we grow and learn together, there's obviously going to be things that we want to make sure that we celebrate and that we take time to grieve. So those are my main ones for family and marriage. And then it gets a little bit shorter, I think. Those are pretty big. But for friendship, I feel like, again, who do I let into my little curated life? And sometimes, you know, we have friendships that come and go. And I feel like for me, I need to make sure I'm taking time to nourish the very few true friendships that I have. And it takes time to figure out who those are. And sometimes they're friends that we've had all throughout our lives. And sometimes there's special people that come in. And so just taking time to nourish those relationships. The next one for me is to reach out to my dear friends who aren't necessarily close by, that I don't see on a regular basis. And now that I don't spend that much time on social media, I'm not getting to be as caught up with each of their lives. And so that means that I personally need to take a little bit more, or make more of an effort to reach out to them, whether it's through text or phone call or an email, whatever it is. I just need to make sure that's a priority. And then I want to make sure that I'm sending love and prayers and fasting and all the best vibes to those, again, that I don't see all the time. Obviously, I'm really good about doing it to the people that I see all the time, that I know exactly what's going on in their lives. But I need to make sure, at least for me, this is what brings me joy, is when I can make sure and put an effort into those friendships that I don't see all, those friends I don't see all the time, making sure that those good things are going their way. And then I think the last one is just the same as the first category. I want to celebrate the wins and grieve together the losses. Okay, so the next one that brings me the most joy is nature. Like, there's something amazing about nature, and a lot of us feel this way. Some of us connect with it in different ways, but for me, I personally need to see or be in nature every day. I need daily interactions with nature's beauty. And we were so happy last week when the sandhill cranes came back, and also the deer came back and started sitting in our yard again, because we had a couple warm days and they found that perfect shade laid on the side of our house, and there were seven of them just hanging out, and it was so wonderful. And the sandhill cranes were so noisy this morning. They were hilarious. But yeah, for me personally, it's the sandhill cranes, the deer, the cute little robin, and other starling, and all the different birds that hang out in our neighborhood. Pretty soon, we're going to be seeing the monarch butterfly. Caterpillars are going to be coming out, and then we'll be seeing the monarch butterflies all summer, and that will be very special as well. Another thing that really brings me joy is just weather. I love weather. And I know that's such a funny thing, but I think that growing up in Southern California, where there's just like perfect weather all the time, you don't realize how special all the other forms of weather, like snow and sleet. And, you know, I know this seems really, maybe it sounds naive, but even ice, like all those things, I love all the little different parts of weather. And it really does bring me joy seeing nature be celebrated in each of its forms. I'm also really drawn to the mountains and water, streams. I love, even if I can't get out and walk or get to be in them every day, I like to be able to see them. So if I can just see them, go for a drive, go for a short walk, like it always makes my day so much better. Then another part of nature that I love are just growing plants. We have some beautiful house plants and trees that we grow in our house. We also have some plants in the greenhouse that we took a little break from. I think Carl was super overwhelmed with 2020. So we took a little break in the greenhouse, but I'm ready to get back at it. And then of course outside, because I love the deer so much, there are only specific things that I can plant out there. And we try to keep it pretty maintenance free, but maybe when I get older, I'll be one of those cute grandmas that wants to spend a lot of time in her outdoor garden. But for right now, if I have plants growing in my home, then that really makes me feel a little bit more connected to nature. And then also, thanks to Todd Drennan, our architect, we have these amazing huge windows. So I literally feel outside all the time. And my cute friend Kara, I sent her a picture or a video, or she responded to something a while ago on Instagram. And I was painting right next to the window. So she thought I was painting outside, and it was still cold. I don't even remember. But anyways, it was still cold. She's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you were painting outside. I'm like, oh, I was inside, but I feel like I'm outside because I get to paint next to these big windows, and it's so great. And that brings me so much joy, right? The last one with nature is I love to really eat as naturally as possible. And I love to cook as natural as possible. And I know that sounds funny, but when I implement that into my daily nourishing routine of eating, I feel like I get to celebrate nature a little bit more. Okay, which leads us to the next category, which is health. And for me, again, I feel like just learning how to really listen to my body, find out exactly what my body needs. I have some very specific food challenges. I'm always trying to figure out like what's the next thing that really will help my body run the most smoothly and just feel good, right? And so for us, just going vegan was amazing because I felt like I gained a new appreciation for vegetables. I've always loved vegetables. I love, you know, doing all kinds of different things with them. But when we went vegan, I feel like we really had to rely on different ways to cook things. And that's been really great. And so as we transition, you know, into the latest thing that seems to feel good right now, I feel like I can take all of these bits and parts. You know, I think because of my gluten intolerance and my sugar and all these food challenges and allergies that I had, I really learned to cook very simply and to just really celebrate the whole farm to table idea and to really stay away from processed foods. And I know there's lots of people out there, it doesn't bother them, but it really bothers me. And I feel like when I can eat as cleanly as possible, I feel more connected to nature and my body is happier. I find more joy in my body. So there you go. The next one is just to use simple remedies. Like we love to just stay away from all kinds of things. When it comes to our health, we are very particular. We're very careful of what we give our kids, what we give each other, and then, of course, what products we put on our body, from deodorant to shampoo to lotions and all those things. I'm very, very particular to sunscreen, you know, and that's where I find the most joy. I can find the most joy when I keep it really simple, and I'm and I make very, very particular, hard choices about all those things. The next one is, for me personally, is getting more into like my well-being health, as in like my spiritual and soul well-being. And so for me, I need to take time every day to meditate. I love Tai Chi. I love to go get a simple walk in nature. And I have realized over the past year that I am a stroller. I like to stroll. I'm not a fast walker. I'm not your exercise guru. Like, call Katrina if you want to go on a brisk walk up the mountain. Like, that's not me. Like, I need to take in nature, and so I need to go slow. And I think for a lot of years, I didn't realize that that was what I liked to do, but it was so great to take my kids, because when they were small, we were always going at their pace, and we would stop and look at a mushroom or a bug, a beetle, whatever it was, would collect the little tops of the acorns or rocks or whatever it is they're interested in. And I found that that's my pace. It allows me to connect with nature at the same time, to breathe deeply, all those things. And again, this, you have to do what works best for you, but this is definitely what works best for me personally. And I feel like it's very important for me just to listen to my body so that I can better understand what foods I can eat, you know, what kind of things I can do with the challenges that I've been given. And all of those things really help support my mental and spiritual well-being. So I guess the next one would be listening to my soul and just asking myself from time to time, am I doing too much? Am I overscheduling myself? Am I taking time to rest? And those are important questions that I do like to reflect on often, because if I'm doing too much of any of those things, then I can't feel any of the joy of the wonderful things that I have before me that I've curated into this life. And then the last one is just to distance myself from my phone. And that seems so silly and simple, but I love to not have my sound on as much as possible. And sometimes it's hard for my kids. I've tried to figure out how to set certain things so that they can still get a hold of me. But it's good to know that when it's time to work, I can just work. When it's time to create, I can just create. And I don't have to get constant sounds and notifications on my phone. And it really helps my mental well-being to just keep the media quiet. Okay, so that kind of leads into creating. Obviously, creating is such a big part of my joy, my daily joy. And for me, it really encompasses everything I've already talked about. You know, I love to connect with this creative part of me by including my family, either by including them in my art process or, you know, sharing art with them. Also, I like to include things in my paintings that I'm learning about my life. I like to include nature, just aha moments. I'm using that time to recharge, to make sure my oil lamp is totally full. And I recently, in episode 180, I talked about a recent large painting, Tell Me About Your Sacred Grove. And I talk a little bit more about carefully and, you know, just intentionally inviting people into my creative space. And I think that that's important. And also the recharge that happens to me personally when I go to my sacred grove, which is my studio, and just have that just this time with my creators and just creating. You know, I love that. It really fills my soul. And then also, I love with creating, what really brings me joy is new discoveries, exploring, kind of digging deeper with where I am with my art, trying something new, improvement all the time. Those are things that really bring joy. And then for me, the last thing about creating is I need to make sure it's a priority. I need to set aside time every day to create. And, you know, sometimes it's a hard choice. My cute friend and I were swimming 2 days a week, and that was amazing, but it was like right in the middle of my studio time. And so I had to really make some hard choices. Same thing with walking. I had these friends that I love to walk with, but I haven't been doing it lately because, again, it takes time out of my creating. And once the kids are home and I'm driving them places and we're going to activities and spending time together, there's just, it's not the same. And so I have to really be careful with my time and make sure I have creative time. And for me personally, summer is the most exciting time of the year, but it's also really crazy. And so for me personally, I feel like I need to hunker down right now during the spring before summer, because it will be crazy during summer. And then hopefully I'll get to hunker down again once they start school. But it's really hard to really have a set schedule during the summer with everyone else's schedules are kind of skiwampus. Okay, so the next topic is something that's super important to me, but learning. I love to learn. I've always been that kid that was so excited about the freshly sharpened pencils and a brand new box of crayons and getting my new lunchbox or backpack when the other one's worn out and going and shopping for school clothes because it meant going to school every day and getting to learn things that I didn't know about. And I've always been so drawn to that, but I feel like it's such an important part of my everyday. I'm so grateful to be done with college and all of the higher learning and all of that stuff. But what I love about it is that, you know, you go to school to kind of learn how to learn, and then you can spend the rest of your life learning things you really care about. And so for me, the number one thing that I really try to learn about, make sure I'm learning every day, is new aspects to the spiritual world. And then the other half would be knowledge of all kinds, you know, of our temporal world. So I love to learn about the world in general, different cultures, people, language, music, food, truth, philosophy. I love to travel. I just love people in general. And I feel like when I want to really understand people and places better, travel is really the best way to, well, and I shouldn't say best, but it is a very unique way to learn about people and culture. And then when I come home, I can kind of take what I've learned and then further my studies at home. But I love that part. Being able to travel has been really an important part of my learning experience and just like giving me opportunities to learn about things in a new way. So obviously right now I haven't been able to travel lately, and that's okay because I feel like I have my Duolingo app and I can still practice my French, and I can still help the twins with their Spanish, and you know, I can listen to different music from all over the world just right from my home. And so I'm so grateful for, you know, technology, because these are the things that we can continue to learn about wherever we are. And that's an important thing for me. Okay, last category. And I'm just calling it stuff. Because for me, I realized long time ago that it is just stuff, right? And going back to the whole Merci manifesto, ask ourselves, what are we intentionally inviting physically into our very curated life? What things have lost their usefulness or even purpose in our life? Sometimes I get overwhelmed when I have to clean or care for too many things. We probably all do. And sometimes when that happens, we can choose to either hire someone or reassign responsibility, right? To take care of the things, those things, or just let them go. One of the episodes I did in the very beginning of my podcast was episode number 4, called What I Give Up to Paint. And I totally recommend this episode if you have little people or just lots of people that you live with. If you want to understand different systems, I learned to give up a lot of things, a lot of responsibilities, not just to help teach my kids, but also just for my mental well-being. And also, I didn't have time to paint when I was doing everything. So it was kind of like a win-win for everybody. But there's been some, I really should do a update to that episode, because there's been so many things that have happened, so many good things that have kind of evolved because of those hard choices that we made to have certain systems when our kids were little. So again, episode number 4, What I Give Up to Paint. So getting back to this whole stuff category, I personally feel more joy and I feel more free and I feel more purpose personally when everything has a place, a use, and some form of beauty of design to inspire me. Right? We love to regularly declutter. Carl is the king of it. He's naturally better at it than I am. And Anna Claire, our daughter, is becoming our queen of declutter and organization. She wasn't always. She had to learn to prioritize. And now it's something that she just does every week. She cleans her room every week, not because I ask her to, but because that is a weekly ritual. She cleans and she does her laundry and she just reorganizes and declutters and she Marie Kondos the heck out of all of her stuff. And she does a good job. And I love learning. I love kind of watching her do it. And it's inspired me to be better myself. But yeah, I just kind of feel like there's so many things that if we take the time to, again, make hard choices, then those things, at least for me, they're not as overwhelming, right? One of the things that I've loved about traveling is that you just take a few things, right? You take the bare necessities that you're going to need on your travel. And I think something I've had to teach the kids is sometimes you want to leave a little space so that you can bring home things that you care about, right? Or, you know, just realize that you will be taking a lot of photos and maybe you'll come home and buy things that really mattered to you. Like with me with the Merci store, I'd like to go buy their stuff even though I'm not going to Paris every year, right? So another thing that I learned early on is that stuff is just the least priority for me. It's kind of ironic because here I am creating these big pieces of art that I put a lot of value and importance on. But when it comes down to it, obviously my family and my relationships have the biggest priority with, you know, those are the things that bring me the most joy. And so something that happened to us, like I think just growing up, I'm the oldest, we didn't have a lot when I was little. And so I just learned to notice all the things that I thought were beautiful, but not ever take it home with me. And then when I was 15, we had a fire in our home and we lost pretty much everything. We had to live in a rental for a year while they rebuilt. And my mom tried to replace all the things that we actually needed. And she didn't replace everything, which I thought was so good. I remember watching her thinking, oh, this is good to take note that we don't need to replace every little thing that we had before. We only replace the things that are the most meaningful, useful, that really bring us joy, right? And then the last thing that helped me realize that stuff is really not the most important is when I had some paintings burn in my collector's home fire. She had a home fire and she lost three original paintings. And one of them was really large and she was devastated. And I remember realizing from that experience, I already knew that it wasn't the most important thing. But I also learned that things that we create, whether it's friendship, whether it's service, whether it's just those feelings and memories we have with family, friends, in nature, traveling, those things that we create, those are eternal. And I learned that from my collector's paintings burning. I realized that everything we create is eternal in this spiritual, in a spiritual realm sense, right? And so that is very comforting to me. And so for me, I think, again, it's most important to, again, curate things that are going to bring us most joy. And yes, there will absolutely be things and stuff in your life that are going to bring a lot of joy. And I think it's important to recognize what things are going to help you. For me, it was creating a home where we could best do the activities that were most important to our family. And it is stuff. This home that we have, this beautiful home that I love so much, it is just stuff, but it is something special and useful. And there's so many memories that we've made in this home. And I'm so grateful. Okay. Last, to wrap it all up, I want to just share a favorite quote. This is I heard this first from James E. Faust, and he shared that marriage is a joint quest for the good, the beautiful, and the divine. So I was thinking about what does marriage mean, and I thought about this idea of committed union. And so I think about how curating a life requires intentional choices and a union with these hopes and dreams to make it a reality. So again, a quest, a joint quest for the good, the beautiful, and the divine. I don't know. I just hope that today and as you go out about the rest of your year, maybe if you want to take this journey with me, we can think more about this life that we are creating and curating and things that are bringing us joy instead of like what goals we're reaching, the actual numbers and all these specific things. But how is it making us feel? How is it helping us grow as a person and become our best self? Again, a joint quest for the good, the beautiful, and the divine. I want you to know that I do know that our Heavenly Parents love us and they want us to find joy along this journey. For me personally, I find the most joy when it's not It's special moments. It's not all of the time. It's those little tiny ordinary or extraordinary moments. It's the hard things that remind us of the times that we can celebrate or grieve together and really just deepen those relationships. It's a beautiful journey. I know that you're loved. Know that our Heavenly Parents love you. Know that we're so grateful for all the things that you do, for the hard choices that you make. And may you continue to find the strength that you need to create that special curated life full of joy and meaning and purpose. Sending so much love from the Candy Colored Studio.